Jim Elliott and four other missionaries were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Thanks for joining us for Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you during this week about a sermon to myself. I don't preach very many sermons. At least I try not to sound preachy. I don't believe in women preachers. And this is an idea that came from a book by George MacDonald, another one of those spiritual tutors to whom I owe a tremendous debt. I came across George MacDonald's writings back in about 1950 when I was tutoring two missionary kids, and during the times when they were doing workbooks or taking tests or something, I would be perusing their bookshelves. And I came across Salted with Fire by George MacDonald. I knew nothing about George MacDonald except what our sixth grade teacher in the public school had read us, the Back of the North Wind, and several others of his children's books, but I didn't know that he had written adult fiction as well. Well, just recently I reread Annals of a Quiet Neighborhood. I get many letters from those who tell me that they've been helped by my talks on Gateway to Joy. What am I supposed to do with all these compliments? Corrie Ten Boom gives me an idea. She said that she would make up a little bouquet at the end of the day of all the praise that she had received, and then she would hand it to her Heavenly Father. It's my constant prayer that I may not only offer the truth of God to my listeners, but more than that, that I may live that truth where nobody is watching, where nobody can listen. That's where it counts. May I ask you earnestly, in the name of Christ, to pray that God will shut my mouth if I ever begin to believe my favorable press notices, if I ever suppose that I merit the lavish praise that I receive, or above all, if I forget that I am nothing but a clay pot. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, or in clay pots. And I lived with Indians who made pots out of clay, which they used for cooking. Nobody was interested in the pot. Everybody was interested in what was inside. The same clay, taken out of the same riverbed, always made in the same design, nothing special about it. Well, I'm a clay pot, and let me not forget it. But the excellency of the power is of God, and not of us. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. A branch cannot bring forth fruit of itself. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. Would you pray that I will never forget that? As I was about to prepare this week's talks, I was feeling so far from eager to begin, so far from exemplary in what I was about to put on the air, I couldn't help wondering if it could be right to proceed. But you know one of the rules of my life, don't you? Do the next thing. I may not shirk my duty because of my own feelings. So I sat down to read through another pile of letters from listeners. I do read them all, you know. And among them were two which I'm sure came in God's timing. The first was from Monique in South Carolina. She started out, the first paragraph seemed fine. She says, I'm writing to express my concern regarding your ministry to others. I have heard you speak on our local radio station and have read Passion and Purity and the one about your ministry with your first husband. I have heard your programs in times of hurting and struggle, and I have heard it on the other side of pain. My conclusion is the same. I hope I can make this letter constructive because I'm having a hard time being specific about the problem. It is not an issue of anything that you have specifically said. It's more an attitude of heart. I feel that your attitude emanates superiority and self-righteousness. I'm not talking about a healthy self-esteem. It's more than that. You need to realize that people do not need to fit the Elizabeth Elliot mold. It is God who sets the standard. You need to be gentle when you speak to others because you don't know where they have been, where they are going, or where they are at present. And of course, if I may put in a parenthesis, of course I don't know where they are or where they have been or where they are at present. She goes on to say, I'm concerned for hurting Christians in the church because the people in authority are judgmental and condescending, which wounds hearts and souls. When a person is yielded to God, God may lead them in ways that others don't understand. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about sin. I'm saying that God's ways are not our ways, and people criticize what they do not know. The other issue I have is in regards to your first husband. I love my husband dearly, but if anything were ever to happen to him, and I would remarry, I would not carry his torch at the expense of my second and third husbands. Now, I was going to leave that part out, and then I thought, no, I really do need to address that because people often feel sorry for my husband, Lars, because he comes to the meetings with me, and he hears me talk about Jim Elliot, husband number one, and Addison Leach, husband number two. And frequently, Lars will come up on the platform himself and say, we need to hear a story about husband number two because you left him out yesterday or something like that. And he's very comfortable with hearing these stories about my husband. So I trust that you will understand that I am not dishonoring him. In fact, he encourages me to tell these stories. But I'm always, shall I say, open to criticism. Of course, I don't like it. I don't know anybody that likes criticism. And my immediate human natural reaction is not what it should be. But then the Lord, in that still small voice, reminds me how necessary it is that I receive not merely praise, but plenty of criticism. This book, Annals of a Quiet Neighborhood, is the story of a young preacher in Scotland who goes to a new village and starts right in seeking to get to know the people. And one of his first encounters is with a carpenter in the carpenter shop. I'm glad that I happened to come upon you by accident, I said. He smiled as if he did not quite believe in the accident and considered it a part of the play between us that I should pretend it. I hastened to add, I was wandering about the place, making some acquaintance with it and with my friends in it, when I came upon you quite unexpectedly. You know I saw you in church on Sunday afternoon. I know you saw me, sir, he answered with emotion as if to return to his work. But to tell the truth, I don't go to church very often. I did not quite know whether to take this as proceeding from an honest fear of being misunderstood or from a sense of being in general superior to all that sort of thing. But I felt that it would be of no good to pursue the inquiry directly. I looked, therefore, for something to say. Ah, your work is not always a pleasant one, I said, associating the feelings of which I have already spoken with the facts before me. And looking at the coffin on which he was working, the lower part of which stood nearly finished upon trestles on the floor. Well, there are unpleasant things in all trades, he answered, but it does not matter, he added with an increase of bitterness in his smile. I didn't mean, I said, that the work was unpleasant, only sad. It must always be painful to make a coffin. A carpenter gets used to it, sir, as you do to the funeral service. But for my part, I don't see why it should be considered so unhappy for a man to be buried. This isn't such a good job after all, this world, sir, you must allow. And so their interchange goes on, and it's very interesting. Here's a carpenter who's very leery of this new preacher. And he's not easy to talk to. You'll see as we go through this week how the preacher himself was able to, through the strength of the Lord, open doors which seemed to be slammed shut in his face. Another letter came telling me that her heart had almost broken when my guest, Robin, and I agreed that if a child did not make his bed every morning, he would be a slob. I don't think we put it quite that way, but if I remember correctly, I said we try to teach our children to pick up their clothes and put their shoes away and make their beds in the morning because we don't want them to grow up to be slobs. And this dear lady writes, "My heart almost broke as I heard you and your guest agree that if a child did not make his bed every morning, he was a slob. At the time you were speaking, my bed was unmade, my dishes were not washed. I did not stay at home with my children so that I could clean house. I stayed home so I would be here for them, so that I could use the time available to me during the day to serve God by ministering to friends and church family members so that I would not be too busy to study His Word and spend time alone in prayer. Does my unmade bed really matter that much to God? If you met me, would you discount everything I say as a Christian because I had dishes in my sink?" Well, Robin and I were discussing teaching discipline to children. I think my listener must have failed to understand that that was the subject. We were speaking of the principles of an ordered life. It does make life a whole lot simpler, as we learned from my very organized mother and father, if we learn to do all the things that need to be done every day, quickly and efficiently. So it's a good lesson in the need to try to foresee what radically different interpretations may be made of any word that I say. I do pray constantly for wisdom, and of course I have to leave the results with God.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.